When you are unhappy with who you are, you're never going to be able to be healthy. You know, there's more to it. You know, there's more to it than just all this other stuff. So when you are happy and you're happy in your relationships and you're happy in your work and you're happy and you've got friends and you've got social and you've got in your home and you've got enough time to yourself, you know, you can really have, you know, enjoy your coffee, you know, enjoy that piece of cake occasionally and take care of your food, you know, and keep all your food good and clean. But you don't have to beat up every little thing, you know, that goes into your body either.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Be Optimized Condition. I'm your host, Omar Cumberbatch. Today we welcome Dr. Shirley Picaretto to the show. Shirley is the author of the international bestseller, Healthy, Lean, and Sexy at Any Age. She's a doctor of naturopathy and has a BS in health and wellness counseling. She is also a certified herbalist and weight loss coach who has been helping people create healthy bodies, minds, and spirits for over 30 years.
So Shirley, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fabulous. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I just wanted to compliment you on the book. I did finish it, and I'm going to have some selfish questions, of course, but I want you to just introduce yourself to the audience and let everybody know what you do and how you came to write this book and just a little bit about us.
Thank you. Yeah, my book is Healthy, Lean, and Sexy at Any Age. And my background has been in natural health and fitness, for over 30 years. I have a BS in health and wellness counseling. I'm a certified herbalist. I'm a doctor of naturopathy. I'm certified weight loss coach, Desire Map certified. So it's just been my whole entire life. So I got into alternative medicine back when, it was the early 90s. And, back then, it was really people are calling me witch doctor. They still came, there really wasn't a category for me, way back then. So I had, some experience. I do a lot of traveling. I travel all over the world, which is fun. And a couple of years ago, I was in Laos and cool country, but traveling down the Mekong because there's no roads or infrastructure in the northern part. And we stopped at these little villages and, it's just like the stuff you see on National Geographic. I mean, there's kids without pants, without shoes. There's the moms are holding, the kids, the dads are out hunting snakes and no electricity. Anyway, and what it meant to me was that I felt like I needed to do my part in the world. And I'm not a woman that's, going to go help dig a well. But I thought, I've got a lot of gifts and, I just wanted to share what I knew and hopefully, make an impact and influence others.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things that resonated with me a lot, too, because I actually got on this health and wellness journey through traveling. And absolutely. And one of the things that I noticed when I traveled was that it doesn't seem to be many overweight people anywhere in the world. So,
my gosh. Yeah.
And it was strange. So it's like that definitely compelled me. And it's just as a side note, I used to, post on my Facebook page. I used to just like let my camera run and just, people watch. And the segment was over, I'd ask people to say how many people in that segment were overweight. And it was little to nobody, except maybe an American tourist.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We see the same thing. You'll see in my book, I wrote about, some of the Asian, people, and I'm like 5'3", 123 pounds, and they're like pulling out a large for me. And I'm like, what's up with this? I'm insulted, and this woman. She pokes me literally and she goes, well, look at you. And I'm like, wow, and same thing with Mark. Mark is like, he's 5'10", 153, right? He's fit, he's strong, and he's like, he's grande, he's extra large,
It's really amazing.
Yeah, they were just shaking their heads that they, that we were so big. Yeah, it was funny.
It's crazy. So in your observation, why is that the case?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a multifaceted question, so I'll dive into it. It's a number of things. And one of the first things that comes to mind is the quality of the food. There's so much of the food that we have in the United States that actually just is not allowed in other countries. I mean, other countries, they don't allow these dyes. They don't allow these hormones. I mean, for one instance, like we have hormones, bovine growth hormone, BGH, and that's put into a lot of our meats. And it's put into your meat unless it says otherwise on the package. So unless it says organic or, pasture raised and all that, it's got these growth hormones. So growth hormones are meant to make animals fat, chickens and cows, because, you know, if you own a cow and it weighs 200 pounds, you'll make so much money. If it weighs 300, you make more. So they pump these things, they make them fat. Well, these hormones do the same thing to our body. So that's one of the stark differences. What goes on? Same thing with the milk. You know, if your milk does not say non, you know, BGH, BST, then it's got hormones in it. And so this is one of the things, and it's one of the reasons you're seeing, you know, young girls with, you know, breasts and getting their period at 9, and little boys with these, you know, girly breasts too, poor things, you know, and it's because of these excess hormones, you know, that are in your food. Not allowed, doesn't happen, you know, in other countries. Another aspect is the sugar. You know, we are just sugaraholics. You probably know this, right? You know, it's just like there's sugar in ketchup, there's sugar in wheat bread. You know, there's just sugar in everything. And sugar makes people fat. And in other countries, you know, they're just eating fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, you know, good chickens, and, you know, good meats and water. You know, so, you know, that's another aspect. And people are also active. So I guess the third point would be is, you know, we as Americans are just slow. We don't move around, you know, as much. And there's just a whole different, you know, lifestyle that goes along with the activity.
And I've always found it fascinating, too, is like Americans are always on a diet. You know, it's that's just yes. Everybody is. And you know. Everywhere else, the word is like foreign to them. They just go about their business and eat.
So. Yeah, I know. And it's so wonderful. Like people, I mean, you know, we eat a lot, you know, and Mark and I, we never like deprive, but we eat real food. We eat good food, but it never feels like a deprivation. So it's interesting that so many people think that eating whole and eating real food is you're somehow like, you know, when my mom, when I was a kid, she had this diet plate at Woolworths at the counter, right? And she had like this like lettuce, you know, that really bad iceberg lettuce. And then I had like a hunk of cottage cheese and an ice cream scoop with a couple of lonely peaches laying there, right? And then it was kind of like, and that's what was diet years ago. But gosh, you know, just not the same anymore. You can eat good and eat well, rather, and feel great and be slim too.
Oh, absolutely. So in your book, the first topic you jump into is the liver. So why did you pick that first, and why is the liver so important in getting you
healthy? Well, you know, most people don't know much about their liver, and they don't realize the importance of it. And they're just not taught. So the liver is a very resilient organ. It's on the right side of your body, just underneath your ribs. And it's basically the body's filtration system. It performs over 5,000 enzymatic functions, but it has so much to do with how we feel all the time, emotionally and physically. And so I like to give this example, let's say that you weren't sleeping at night. You're up between, you know, say 2 and 4 at night. You might talk to a general practitioner about that. Let's say also your skin was breaking out. You're getting adult acne. And so you're going to trot off and go see the dermatologist. And let's say your moods have been off. You're kind of quick to anger, easily frustrated. You know, your partner's not liking that. So maybe you're going to see a counselor about that. And maybe your digestive system isn't going well. You've been having a hard time digesting food. And so you get referred to the gastrogal. But what if that was just all your liver? And all of those things that we just spoke about points to a liver being stressed. And our liver gets stressed by many, many things, mostly the environment, the chemicals that are in food, that are in home products, these dyes we talk about, of course, alcohol, but also, you know, all these other factors as well, too. So we really, our livers get stressed. And then we're quick to anger, easily frustrated, can't sleep, we're angry, we hold on to a lot of fat. And a dachshund, and then I'm not a medical doctor, I don't give medical advice, but, you know, I've had hundreds and hundreds of clients and they go get their enzymes tested and the doctor's like, oh, your enzymes are off. And what are we going to do? Well, we better watch it. You know, and you come back in 3 months, no lifestyle changes, just go test it again. Of course, it's the same. When really just simple herbs like milk thistle or dandelion are just going to really help to, you know, loosen those toxins and get the liver back to, you know, to function again. So, yes, I've been a real proponent of good liver health. The liver needs to be cleansed at least twice a year, springtime here in North America and in the fall. And then also, you know, if you travel, like, you know, all the garbage that's on planes, just because it smells like pina colada doesn't mean it's not some nasty chemical that's been sprayed all over your seat, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's terrible. It makes me,
Yeah, no, it's definitely tough. And I know that you mentioned dandelion and milk thistle. Are there anything else that can kick your liver into high gear or at least help it heal?
Yeah, there's actually wonderful liver cleanses. I work with one that's called Clean Start. There's a lot of good cleanses. They usually will be a combination of herbs. And normally, we're going to clean the liver and the colon at the same time. And a little bit more to expand on the weight loss you asked me earlier, other countries do a lot of cleansing. So when we cleanse our colon and then we take this relief off of the liver is going to then metabolically be better. It's going to burn more calories. It's going to burn more fat. It's going to burn more cholesterol. So we are going to be thinner. So these colon cleanses, there's some that are very good. I recommend you just get a good referral, because there's obviously a lot of garbage out there, as there is with any companies that are trying to make money for nothing. But traditionally, milk thistle is an herb that's going to build the liver. And one way to know, if you're not going to see a practitioner, if you feel sluggish in the morning and you kind of feel depressed, like Eeyore, like who cares? Why bother? What's the use? Maybe you have food allergies. Again, maybe your bowels are sluggish and you're kind of shuffling to the coffee pot in the morning, because coffee is a bitter. And that's why people crave it, because it helps it actually jumpstart the liver. And so, yeah, you get that liver functioning, you're going to have amazing good mood, good energy, lower weight, and you're going to sleep through the night. You won't be up at that 2 to 4 hour.
Gotcha. And then you definitely mentioned the colon too. And one of the things that I thought was crazy in your book was that you state that there's 20 pounds of debris in your colon. That is crazy. And just by the mere fact that if you could get rid of that, obviously you could lose some weight. So I'm sure that's a topic that people will at least want to touch on for sure. So can you get in about that?
Yeah. And there's a couple other things that actually help with the weight loss. So if you picture this, a colon, the colon is the same thing as the large intestine. People may not know that. So the large intestine, if you can visualize this, if you put your hand on your right hip bone and then you come up about 4 inches, that's called your ascending colon. That's where things you start moving. And then if you go across your body all the way over to the left hip, kind of with a swag, that's your transverse colon, and then down to the left is the descending. So this colon is supposed to be about 2.5 inches wide, physiologically. But if it gets stuffed and gets full of debris, it can get up to 5 inches big, or it can get teeny tiny, like as wide as a pencil would be, and something that's really constricted. So the health of the colon really determines the health of the body. Now, if we're eating a lot of white flour, eating white sugar, picture like a mason, like with cement, and it just keeps going on. There's another layer, dries, another layer. So this buildup happens inside the colon. And there's something that's called catarrh, I think it's T-T-A-R-A-H. You can Google that. It's pretty gross. And it's like a tar that actually build up on the inside of the colon. So this causes a problem, because then the good food that we eat, it's very rubbery, and so our nutrients can't get through. So if the nutrients can't get through, then we are not satisfied. And if we're not satisfied, what do? We eat more food, right? So that's one of the main things about it. So you want to clear all that out. So yes, you're going to lose, most people, depends on the person. I mean, a woman my size might lose 4 or 5 pounds. I had a guy once, that lost, I think he was close to the, 15, 18 pounds, but he worked in a very toxic photo lab. He was a big guy. Depends on the person. But nonetheless, you're going to clean the liver, clean the colon. Your food's going to absorb better. You're going to be lighter. Your skin's going to be brighter, and you're going to be so much healthier, because all disease starts in the colon.
And real quick, any specific herbs that will do the job for this, or this is a combination of things just like with the liver?
Yeah, I mean, the company I've worked with for many years is Nature Sunshine, and I have a video on my website. My website is drshirleysays.com, and I have a full video there. I think it's about 9 or 12 minutes. If someone really wanted to delve into all of the bits of cleansing, it's free, and that would be good. But I like the Clean Start cleanse, because it's a 2-week cleanse, and cleansing doesn't mean that you're fasting. A lot of people think cleansing means, I can't eat. No, cleansing means that you're taking some herbs, you're eating, some good food. It's just not a good time to maybe have a hamburger or fish fry. You're trying to clean the body. So you want to just eat good, clean food. You drink a lot of water. Whatever your weight is, you divide that in two. And that's about how many ounces you should have as a rule every day. But more importantly, when you're cleansing, it's important to drink water, because we're going to pull these toxins out. It's also important as fiber. And I have definitely seen some cleanses in a store where there's not fiber. And that's when people start to get sick. Because if you pull, let's say, heavy metals and these old medications that are stored, or even alcohol, you know, that, you know, may be residual there, you know, it's going to come out. It's going to make you feel sickish. So a good cleanse is always going to have some fiber in it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you definitely mentioned that, you know, there's obvious food restrictions or food that you shouldn't eat. So alcohol is something that you shouldn't drink during a cleanse, too.
Well, you know, it's not recommended. I've worked with people otherwise. It's not recommended. I remember I had this one client, and she's now Shirley. She says, I have my wine every day at 4 o'clock. I'm just like, yeah, okay, Louise, no worries. We'll just do your cleanse slower. We'll do it in the morning. It's just kind of like, you know, if you're cleaning out your house, you know, and putting all your trash out in the back deck, and then the garbage companies come in the morning and throwing stuff in the front of your house, you know, it's just, you know, you just throw more garbage in. So it's good to take a break. You know, it is. And harder for, you know, some than others, but it's not the end of the world. But you don't want to take your herbs and swallow it down with a glass of beer. That's silly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Totally agree. And that's the other thing that was really welcoming about your book, is that it's not a restrictive book in any sense, where it's like you cannot have the wine, or you cannot have, you know, some of your favorite meals, but it's in moderation. And that
was also absolutely good. Yeah, and if it's real, it's okay. I mean, if you're gonna drink some wine, maybe you have some, you know, some organic wine. If you're gonna have meat, get the grass fed. Make sure you have wild caught fish that doesn't, you know, what people think farm raised fish. Well, fish isn't raised on a farm, and then they put all these chemicals in the water. They put antibiotics in, and then your body develops these immune responses, and it's a catalyst for a host of all kinds of diseases, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, for sure. Mm-hmm. And now, one of the things that you did bring up in the book that I was not familiar with was the thymus gland.
Yes.
That is, I consider myself pretty knowledgeable about diets and wellness overall.
Yeah,
but I don't know if I've ever heard anybody talk about the thymus gland. So can you talk about the thymus gland a little bit?
I can, yeah. The only time people really hear about it, unfortunately, is when they're sick. And sick in the way like where you're dealing with a cancer or chemotherapy and that, because then they're going to measure what's called your T cell count. And that means that's referring to the amount of, you know, white blood cells and eosinophils and, you know, that are, you know, your protector cells, because your white blood cells are what's, you know, protects you against these, you know, cancers and, you know, different you know, food allergies and, you know, things along those lines. So the thymus gland itself is kind of, it's right near your thyroid, you know, in your throat, and it gives off these T cells. So when our thymus gland is weak, it can't protect the body against the normal invaders. And the quickest way to wreak havoc on your immune system is to have some sugar. You've probably read that too. So if you have even 50 grams of sugar, not much, a couple cookies, can of soda, you know, whatever, even some of those green naked juice drinks, I think, or something, have 50 grams of sugar in them. So you have the sugar, then your thymus gland shuts down and it's not putting out your normal, you know, your white blood cells. And so then we're more susceptible to getting sick. People are always saying, oh, I was at the office, so-and-so got me sick, and oh, my kids brought home this cold. Well, you know what? Just because they brought it home, you got the darn thing because your immune system was weak. And people get sick around the holidays because we eat a lot of sugar. You know, people are more susceptible if they have a lot of stress. That also shuts down the thymus gland. I mean, if you are having some anxiety or you're one of those people yelling at cars in traffic, you're shutting down your immune system. So then if someone comes in and they're coughing and sneezing, yep, you're going to get it. But so it's our response. That's my belief anyway, that, you know, it's our responsibility. And I was just around someone over the weekend. They're like, oh, I don't want to get you sick. I'm like, your sickness is your sickness. It has nothing to do with me. And so I'd like to see you. It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I did definitely want to touch on supplementation, because there's something that you mentioned, which I've heard over the years a bazillion times. It's magnesium.
Yeah.
Why is it so important? How can we get more of it?
You know, magnesium, I think, is perhaps, it's got to be in the top two or three of necessary minerals. I think most people are magnesium deficient. It is just amazing what it has been attributed to. A lack of magnesium can call can cause a rapid heartbeat. A lack of magnesium can cause, you know, leg cramps, or, you know, it can be a factor in blood pressure. It's just for people that have anxiety, and that's, you know, that's in my book too. I mean, I started, you know, with natural health, you know, back in the day, because I had anxiety attacks back in the 80s when no one knew what the heck they were. And those stem from the adrenal glands. We can talk about that. But so the magnesium is so important to relax the body. It's going to relax the heart, relax the blood pressure, relax your muscles, relax your mind. Even people who are constipated, their bowels aren't moving, everything tightens. So think about like magnesium being a muscle relaxer naturally. So if your colon is tight, your bowels aren't moving. You know, if your heart doesn't have enough magnesium, you're going to have more heart palpitations, or maybe excess, you know, has a lot to do with your blood pressure, you know, as well too. So I take magnesium every day in a number of different forms. And just as a little side note, dark chocolate is super high in magnesium. So one of the reasons we crave it when we're under stress is because we're really like searching out some magnesium to settle ourselves down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Good chocolate, though. No Milky Ways. This, we mean good, good dark chocolate. Not Snickers, right? Just good, you know, the good high cacao count.
Gotcha. What other ways can we get magnesium?
Nuts are a really good source. I'm a big proponent of nuts. I always keep a ton of them, you know, almonds, walnuts, you know, pecans. I put them, you know, in yogurt in the morning, and you know, a little bit of those little chocolate nubs you can get, you know, from Trader Joe's. All of your greens are good, you know, your green leafies, your kales, your broccoli, and all of those. So, you know, if you eat a good diet, you're going to get a good amount. But the thing is, our bodies get out of whack. We all have a weak link. Like I shared, my weak link is my nervous system. You probably know people that maybe have a weak structural system, right? They get aches, they get pains in their joints. Maybe their knees are bad, their shoulders. Some people have a weak immune system. They've got allergies. You know, they catch everything because their immune system's weak. So if you know your weak system, then you want to shore that up. I mean, I definitely take magnesium, you know, supplements. I eat a very good food, but there's times, you know, of stress that, you know, that I need more. And that's when you get in natural health, you just use it, you know, things as antidote. You're taking a zillion things a day. It's just, some people have a medicine cabinet. I have an herb cabinet. That's all. Yeah. And I take it everywhere I go, Omar. You're laughing. We travel, you know, sometimes we'll go away 4 or 5 weeks at a time. Like half of my suitcase is vitamins and herbs. And Mark just rolls his eyes like, ay, ay, ay. But I got to have something for everything, right? You get dengue.
Yeah, especially when you travel.
Yes, exactly. I need something for my belly. I need charcoal in case, because there's always like chance of parasites overseas, and you know, someone might have a headache or I get an infection. So yeah, I got to bring that all stuff out with me.
And you make out pretty well in customs, because I could imagine.
Never question about that.
Oh, you know? Good for you.
Yeah, gosh. God forbid you bring a pepper, and then they freak out. But no, there's never been any question with my vitamins.
All right, good. I hope I didn't jinx you.
No, me too.
Well, another topic that you definitely touched on in your book was about the lymphatic system and the importance of draining that. Can you give us some tips and why, again, the lymphatic system is so important?
Yeah. The lymphatic system is systemic, meaning it's throughout our body. So it runs parallel to our circulatory system, which is, you know, our veins and our arteries, you know, which, you know, go all, you know, throughout our body. So the lymphatic system is also meant for things like cells have to drain, right? They take in their nutrients and then they have waste. They expel waste. So when the waste gets expelled, it drains into the lymphatic system, or these, you know, these lymphatic vessels, if you will, and lymphatic glands. Now, the issue is that the lymph system does not have a movement of its own. So the heart pumps our blood right up and down all day long, but the lymph system doesn't have a mechanism for movement. So there's just a handful of ways to get that lymph moving so it doesn't stay stagnant. If it stays stagnant, that's where you end up having disease, okay? Because think about it, this is all the garbage that all the cells dump on a daily basis, dump it into your cells, into the lymphatic system, and the lymph doesn't move, it's just going to be a cesspool. And that's why people who don't exercise is the most important way to move this lymph out of your body. And that's why people who don't exercise are always, always, always going to be sicker and are going to have more disease and more discomfort than people that do exercise. So any kind of movement, walking, biking, yoga, stretching, Zumba, basketball, golf, you name it, any kind of movement is going to move the lymphatic system. Another thing that moves the lymph is massage. Now, it's probably not something you're going to get every day, but when you go for a massage, one of the reasons you feel so good is that they're really just, in some masseuses, that's the plural on that, and they will push that, or actually lymphatic drainage specialists, and they can push that lymphatic out and move it around. And then a third way is skin brushing. And skin brushing can be good for someone who's infirm, like say an adult or someone who's recovering. And you actually use like even like a loofah sponge, and you brush the skin towards the heart. And that is another way to manually move the lymph. But yeah, if you don't get that lymphatic, and that's why, you know, you get the lymph glands like on your throat when people get sick, or when women have, you know, breast cancer, you've got all these, you know, glands under the armpits. It's just another great reason to keep your body moving at all times and keep that lymph moving out of the system.
Oh, thank you for that. That makes a lot of sense.
Makes sense? Yeah.
Very much so. So one of the things that I wanted to get into, obviously, was the weight loss thing, because that's something that everybody's interested in.
They are right now. Yeah.
But one of the funny things that I did read is that, you know, you do have your concept between the difference between men and women and their approaches to losing weight. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's kind of, and I don't mean to like pick on, you know, either sex, but men will respond more like, you know, if a doctor tells them to lose weight, or like I was also, I joke about it because men like just talk to each other. They push each other in the belly. They're like, hey, dude, what's up with all this? I've seen other men grab other men's fat around their waist and be like, whoa, what should we do? And can you imagine another woman doing that to another woman? Like, holy cow, Cindy, what happened to your ass? Excuse me. But you know what I mean? We just would never do that. So I was like, no, you look, no, you couldn't have gained 10. No, really? No. It's like we're all this, you know, kind of self-congratulating everyone, and men are just so much more, you know, upfront. And women will lose weight for an event like there's nobody's business. You got a daughter's wedding coming on, that's like the number one pinnacle. Number two is probably a class reunion. Number three, vacation. So women are motivated by events because they know they want to look good. They want to look good for themselves, maybe for their partner. They also want to look good in front of other people. They want to like feel good. But it's interesting how it takes that type of an event to do that, where men are more practical. They'll be like, oh, my doctor said I should lose 30 pounds because I might have a heart attack and I don't want to do that, so I'm going to lose 30 pounds. So it's it is interesting. It's never easy for either sex, but we go about it differently.
Yeah. No, it's funny that you mentioned about like this, the ribbing that men do to each other, because a good chance of being overweight if my friends weren't so brutally honest about that, because we destroy each other when it comes to that.
I know. And maybe women would do better, you know, instead of just kind of like, you know, oh, no, honey, you're fine. Maybe even better, like, well, it does. Yeah, you actually do look heavier. Yeah, I remember I had a girlfriend say to me once, like, yeah, you looked like a lot trimmer last summer. And even that was like, wow. You know, I was like, geez, I think she's right. Or, you know, remember back then? And, you know, and I remember when I was pregnant, I worked with these guys because I worked at the health club. And, you know, and it was all like this big thing that they called me Pick. Oh, Pick's pregnant. Pick, because I was always like fit, teaching classes and everything. And this one guy I worked with, he goes, I hadn't seen him in a while, and I'm like 8 months pregnant. He goes, oh, you're not really as fat as everyone says you are. I'm like, you know, so it's, I was pregnant, I guess, but I got that off right away. I did not like how I felt at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, with a fat, anyway. I'm not talking about the baby. I love the baby, but I just, my arms got fat, my legs got fat. I was not a woman that just had baby fat.
I gotcha. You do believe in the scale and weighing yourself.
I do, yeah.
Because I hear a lot of conflicting positions on that.
There is. And you know what? I think there's probably studies to back up each one, a dozen on each side. You know, so it's really personal preference. But I think for most of us, when we go to get on a scale, we rarely weigh less than we think we did. And so, you know, it's just a measure. And so there's a reason that Weight Watchers is successful. You know, there's a reason, you know, that some of these other, you know, your programs that use that mode are successful, because there's a measurement and it's scientifically proven that what you look at gets changed. And whether that's your, sales track, record, or your, your score, playing baseball or whatever it is, when you look at something and you measure it, there's always going to be a change. And so, sometimes it's hard. I mean, I've struggled with this too. Like, oh, geez, I got to get on a scale and I don't want to. But now with these new, I got the scale's got Wi-Fi in it, and it connects up to my phone and sends me badges if my weight's good. It's really funny. Yeah. So I do think that it's wise to do. So a lot of people say, oh, I don't care what I weigh. I just care about how I look. Like, okay, but if you like how you look, then, then I guess you won't worry about it. But most people don't. They just don't. I taught a weight loss class not that long ago, and I had about, 10 women, and it was so stressful for them to get on the scales because they hadn't done it. And, that's like everything, you want to take your socks off, they want to take everything off, take the glasses off, it's like everything's going to come off, to get, but it was tough. I gave them so much credit, but, there was a number of women over, 200 pounds, and it's not easy, but there was a lot of support and a lot of love and a lot of, being brave, to do it. That's why I'm always saying you're better off facing the truth, know where you're at, then you can do something about it.
Oh, definitely. I think, the main problem with the scale and a lot of the theories behind it is that people kind of just do random checks of their weight. And it's I try to tell everybody, just do it first thing in the morning, because, you're going to drive yourself crazy if you do it one morning and then the next day you do it at right after dinner, your body could jump 5 pounds and then they want to, kill themselves at that point. But it has to be controlled.
It definitely does. The morning, like you say, is the absolute, best time to do that. And, there's all kinds of ways that, that you can track it. But, weight is a personal thing. It just is. And, if people don't want to weigh themselves, then don't. We all have to live with ourselves. So if people are okay and they're happy, who am I to say go weigh yourself? You know what I mean? It's like, do what you want to do. But there's consequences for behavior too, So if you don't ever look at it and you don't like the way you look, chances are you're gaining weight, right?
No, very true. Very true.
Chances are.
One of the other popular points of view nowadays is inflammation and the role that it has in our health and wellness. Yes. You didn't touch that in the book. I just wanted to get your opinion on that and what you thought of just really that trend that's going on now.
Yeah, no, there's a lot, there's an absolute a lot to it. And the inflammation response within the body is really associated with most all of your major diseases, whether it's, cancer and heart disease, diabetes, and the inflammation process is really triggered by, the foods that we eat. Our foods that are acid producing, our body actually produces, what's called an acid ash. So there's, you probably remember your pH school, right? From school, right? The 7-0. And so foods that are below 7, or when your body gets below in the acidic condition, you can get these little test strips. You can get them at the health food store. So when your body's in an acidic state, your body is going to be in an inflamed state. So the foods that cause this acid condition in your body are your sugars. There's also going to be your alcohol and your coffees and, and your bad fats. And so these are things that are going to, cause this, pH to be below, to be acidic. And meats too. Meats, coffee, dairy, sugar. I mean, a lot of a common diet for people, right? And then things that will be more alkaline are going to be your raw foods, your fruits, your vegetables, your juices, your nuts, your seeds. Those are all live foods. And so those are going to be your alkaline foods. And maybe you do a green drink and that's alkaline. So the more alkaline you can get in your body, the less inflammation you're going to have. And that's, again, why people who are going to indulge in fruits, vegetables, and legumes and nuts, seeds, and all these good stuff are always going to be healthier. They're going to reduce the inflammation within your system.
So is that something that you do subscribe to? Because I know that you do love your coffee too. So,
I've cut back since my book, actually. I cut down a little bit. I actually went to decaf. I used to laugh about decaf.
Yeah.
I saw it in a coffee shop once down in New Orleans. They call it the why bother.
That's exactly what I think.
I know. But I've recently just kind of gone through this shift, in my life where I'm not wanting to be like all hepped up all the time. And so I actually, you know, made that shift. And so in the morning I make Miracle. We were just down in Costa Rica for a month. So he got all this amazing coffee down there. And I'm down there. They don't even have a word for decaf. They're like, look at me like, lady, it's Costa Rica. Okay, sorry. Yeah, and I was just kind of like, oh man, you know, it's just, so yeah, no, coffee is a vasodilator. Coffee is wonderful for the brain. They've shown that people who drink coffee are smarter. They have quicker reception. It's also considered to be antioxidant, meaning that it's going to, you know, help with free radical damage, you know, within the body. It's very good for your liver. And so it has a lot of medicinal, you know, benefits as well. So yes, I am a fan of coffee all the way around.
All right, good. Good to hear, because that was one of the things I hear frequently, that coffee does create an acidic environment. So I was like,
well, it does, but again, it's this balance, because the reality is, Omar, I mean, years ago, I was always like, oh, eat this, don't eat that, da 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 da. But you know what? I've really come to realize that if you don't like your life, right? You wake up in the morning like, oh crap, I got to go to work. Oh, geez, I got this person next to me and I feel more lonely than, you know, being alone. You don't like your partner. You don't like your life. You don't like your weight. When you are unhappy with who you are, you're never going to be able to be healthy. You know, there's more to it. You know, there's more to it than just all this other stuff. So when you are happy and you're happy in your relationships and you're happy in your work and happy and you've got friends and you've got social and you've got, you know, your home and you've got enough time to yourself, you know, you can really have, you know, enjoy your coffee, you know, enjoy that piece of cake occasionally and take care of your food, you know, and keep all your food good and clean. But you don't have to beat up every little thing, you know, that goes into your body either.
Yeah, very well put. I the last topic I think I want to talk about as far as food wise, you do touch on like cold cuts and things of that nature. Do you put bacon in that category too?
Depends. You can get some really good bacon if it's bacon that doesn't have any nitrates in it, bacon that you could be organic, bacon that doesn't have dye. Like a lot of times they put red dye in there because we as a country here in the U.S. respond better to colors. There's even some companies or, you know, farmers that feed their chickens feed that has yellow dye in it because Americans respond better if the yolk is yellow. I mean, that's just like crazy, right? So with the bacon, you know, you can get bacon that is, you know, pork is hard to digest. There's just no way around it. You know, it can take days to break down your system. It does cause an acid condition. But if you are going to have it, and you are going to have it occasionally, you want to make sure there's no additives, no dyes, no hormones, you know, and it's of the purest, you know, purest as it can be. That's probably the best way to put it. But, you know, it's harsh on your system. You know, the porks are hard to break down for sure.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. That was very important. That was my selfish question because I love bacon.
Oh, it was. But, you know, you're better off eating real bacon that's real good than eating some of that manufactured, turkey-pressed, you know, additives, preservative, color stuff. I forget what these to call it, bacon lean or something. It looked like red cardboard, you know, rectangles. And that's garbage, you know, so don't eat garbage. And one thing, if I could just go back to the coffee, I just wanted to touch on, so many people put all these creamers in, I think like Coffee Mate's got like 52 flavors now or something, and cream brulee and chocolate or cheesecake chocolate and coconut mint, right? And these are all, so many of them have corn syrup and they have a ton of sugar. They have additives and preservatives. So if you're going to have your coffee, put in some coconut milk, put in almond milk, put in some cashew milk, use some vanilla, like real pure vanilla if you want to have a flavor, but skip those creamers and those syrups that they put in at Starbucks. You put an ounce of that in there, I bet it's 50 grams of sugar, easy.
Oh, easy. Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, you want the hazelnut? Nut? No, please.
Yep. Yeah, and well, to end the show, I just wanted to talk about the one thing that really sparked my interest once we had our like off the air conversation, which is your wearable tech, because I'm late to the party and I just got a Fitbit.
Yes.
And
yes.
Tell me about, how do you pronounce it? Hilo?
Hilo, yep, it's Hilo, yep, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I had a Fitbit, I've had two Fitbits over the years. I like them, I like this whole thing. And when this Hilo thing came across my path just a couple months ago, I was like, oh my goodness, the future is changing. And so Hilo is like a Fitbit, but a Fitbit on steroids is what we like to say. So this is wearable technology. So you're putting it on, you know, your wrist. It's all, you know, non-invasive. But this Helo monitors your blood pressure, and it actually sends an alarm if your blood pressure is too high. It can send an alarm. Let's say you're going to monitor your parents. It can send you an alarm if your mom's blood pressure is too high. You can also take an EKG on this thing with your finger. I mean, this is all verifiable, you know, scientific, medically, you know, developed. Helo is partnered with Toshiba, you know, major tech company. And they're, you know, they're global. And the biggest thing that I'm excited about, you know, Omar, is that it's going to be doing blood sugar monitoring. And this is a huge breakthrough. This is the only company that's doing this. It'll be out. Well, the new LX Helo is actually, mine's coming tomorrow. I'm very excited. And it has the software and it's all ready to go. So we are going to be, the whole wearable tech industry is like the fastest growing. You see it in Best Buy. You see it in, you know, even in, you know, Target and Walmart. You see all these wearable, you know, techs, and they all do different things. But you know, this whole, it's like a security system for your home. You know, we have security systems for our home, but this lets us know, you know, where we're at every single minute. And we can have these results sent to our doctor. And if we want to, we can have these for our kids. There's a panic button. So if someone's in trouble, like a kid or maybe a girl at college that feels in danger, you just press a button and they get, your partners or whoever you have on there will get a text telling exactly where you are and that you're in danger and need help. So big breakthroughs on the horizon here for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I guess I do have one more additional selfish question, because how does this like monitor all that stuff? Because I'm looking at my Fitbit and it has that green light that just kind of just flickering all over the place.
Yes.
Yeah. Similar to what Helo is going to be able to do?
You know, it does so much more. Again, it's, you know, again, nothing with a Fitbit. I think it's great technology, but it really is, it just does so much more. And it's really just the beginning with that. And I can send you a whole like scientific 12 syllable word of how this works, you know, works off the sweat glands, works off, you know, the energy, you know, within the body, but everything's, you know, double blind, placebo controlled, you know, studied and everything. So it's a real piece. You know what I do? I think back about, you know, when I was probably back in the 80s, I'm working at Kodak, and I remember the first fax I saw, I was like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? You know? And I remember seeing a commercial on TV, and it showed this guy on the bus, he's reading the newspaper, and then it turned into what we now know would be like a tablet or a Kindle. I was like, holy cow, how could that be? You know, and so it's the same kind of thing. What? I can put this on my wrist, and I can measure my blood sugar without pricking my finger? Really? You know, there's 19 million diabetics in the United States. Can you imagine? And this will be coming out this fall. The new Helos are just being delivered right now, but they're set up. But the technology is going to be active in the fourth quarter. And if anyone wants to watch a video or learn more about it, they can go to my website at drshirleysays.com.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely check out your website. Yeah, but I've always been curious, because like I said, I know that's going to be a big game changer just
for the,
you know, diabetics and people who want to monitor blood sugar without
stabbing. And I think it's going to go too. I think the monitoring is great, but you know what I think is really cool? Like, let's say that a diabetic says, oh, I'm going to have, you know, a can of Coke. And then you can see that, oh my gosh, my blood sugar is supposed to be 120 and now it's like 560. So you get to see an automatic in real time the consequences of what you just did. And then you can also monitor, you know, let's say that, you know, you go to your doctor's office and your person, every time you go to the doctor's office, your blood pressure goes up because you're nervous because you're at the doctor's office. But, you know, they want to put you on medication, but then you can just like show them your app, because it's an app, and just say, well, look here, doc, my blood pressure has been cool for the last month. Here's my readings. I don't need medication, you know, so there's a lot of ways. It also is going to do blood alcohol monitoring. So you think about kids at a party. I mean, the mom could get a note and be like, hey, dude, come home. You know, you've had too much to drink. Or maybe a kid would say no, because there's a lot of peer pressure. I don't want any more. Look, I'm too high right now. You know, so there's huge amount of life safety and wellness that is going to be achieved with this Helo. And it's so exciting, you know, to be a part of the movement.
No, that sounds amazing. And I guess I want to throw a possible monkey wrench just into the idea real quick. I'm always curious, because the way my mind works, I'm always looking for what's the downside of it. Like,
sure, yeah.
This, whatever's flashing into my skin on this Fitbit, Does that have any consequence to, like, you know, even things like sleep? No. You know, because I know that you're a big proponent. We didn't even get to talk about the sleep thing because, obsessed with the sleep stuff right now.
I'm happy to help you, you know, off air as well, too. Yeah, no, there is minimal EMFs because there's actually germanium that's built in that helps to negate that. And I can send you, you know, some video on that. But, yeah, there's a, you know, people are concerned, you know, with EMFs and different radiation. But, no, this particular helo has been built with that in mind, and it's just negligible. You know, just all the benefits that are in there and what it does has so many more benefits than any of that would ever harm the body. So that made me happy too.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. No, this sounds fantastic. I can't wait to upgrade.
Yeah, I know. I'm having so much fun. I mean, really, we're just so excited to, you know, to share it with people. It's just nice to be a part of all this health and wellness. It sounds like, you know, you are a big proponent of health and wellness too. You're doing good work out there.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And likewise. So Shirley, if you can, just to wrap it up, just tell the audience how to get your book, what your website is again, any social media handles that you have, just so that they can get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My book is Healthy, Lean, and Sexy at Any Age, and you can find that on Amazon. It's a best-selling book in 5 health categories. I'm proud of that. And, you can find me at my website is drshirleysays.com, Facebook, drshirleysays.com. LinkedIn, drshirleysays.com. And my Instagram is just all about pleasure. It's all about traveling. So there's no business there. It's called Tales of Two Travelers, but I have beautiful travel photos from all over the world. And so that's my joy there, is just sharing my travel photos.
Yeah, that's good. Cool. I'll definitely check it out.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show. The book was great. And I'm just looking forward to all that you're going to be doing in the future. And I hope to keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll be happy to help you or anyone. And I guess one, you know, last thing, I do offer a free consultation. It's on my website. So if anyone wanted to pick my brain for 30 minutes, they're happy to do so. They can see the link on there. I just want people to know that I want to be able to spread myself and help and be of service to those that might need me.
That's fantastic. All right, Shirley, have a great night.
You as well. Thanks again for having me.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.